Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Wednesday, October 20th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that is saying happy birthday once again to my mom on this day. It's my podcast. I get to do these things.
Hey, happy birthday. It's great.
Hope she's having a good day. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Flyers to keep up to date on all the Flyers news and send us mailbag questions like we're doing today. You can also email the show at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel Donner. You can find me on Twitter at rmiriam. On today's show, I'm here with Russ Cohen, and we are going to be previewing tonight's matchup versus the Boston Bruins, get caught up on some Flyers news, and then dive into our mailbag. Locked On Flyers is free and available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening right now. So subscribe to get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, Russ. So we got a little bit of extra info at practice yesterday. We saw Zach MacEwen on the ice for the first time, and it looks like he's going to be in the game tonight.
Yeah, that's good to get some new blood in there, see how he operates with his line mates. I'm sure he'll be on the fourth line. I'm sure he'll, you know, start up with some guys, maybe with Marchand or whatever. I don't know if he'll definitely have to fight. I know everybody's counting on a fight between maybe him and Trent Frederick. I don't know if that's necessarily going to happen, but end of the day, you want to see what he can do and see if he's going to sort of be worthy of keeping a roster spot, because there's other guys who, you know, with the Phantoms that at some point could challenge. So, you know, let's see what he's got.
Other than that, in sort of medium-sized news, Igor Zamula was cleared and is officially with the Phantoms. I'm glad to see that in terms of getting him back on the ice and in game situations.
Yeah, because he's one of those guys that definitely could get called up.
Absolutely. And then in the bigger news, Rasmus Ristolainen looks like he's going to be in the lineup tonight. They said they were going to decide for sure today, but he was looking good in practice. And, you know, he was skating in his proper spot on the second pairing. He said that he feels good. So I'm pretty sure he'll be in tonight.
Yeah, I would say we'll go 99.9 because you never know. Something could always happen, but it looks like he is going to make his debut, and Flyers fans should be excited about that.
One thing we will be slightly less excited about, I'm going to say, is Alain Vigneault announced that Martin Jones will be in net for tonight's game. And that is a real choice there. I think given Carter Hart just had such a strong performance, there is a rest day in between. I don't understand the need to go to the backup goalie, regardless of who it is, to be honest. I just don't understand, given what Carter Hart did.
I agree. I mean, let Hart gain some momentum. If he's not playing back-to-backs, he's not even, you know, played that many games where you would worry about it. You know, I get it. Sometimes they have these things drawn up way in advance, and that's what the goalies are prepared for. So, fine. You know, we'll see. I don't know. Is this going to be a game where if Martin Jones gives up a goal on the first shot, now everybody starts to worry about, like, is he that same guy now from San Jose? You have to admit, it's going to take a couple periods to lose that, like a couple periods of great play. Otherwise, I think people are thinking it still.
Yeah, I think so too. But, you know, we'll see if the coaching staff decision turns out to make sense. I'm not so sure, given who we're playing, and that is the Boston Bruins. We talked a little bit about how the schedule was wonky for the Flyers and starting late. The Bruins started even later. They've only played one game thus far, so this will be game two for them. They defeated the Dallas Stars last Saturday, 3-1. If we recall some of their offseason moves, they re-signed Taylor Hall, they signed Nick Foligno and Eric Halla. They had lost David Krejci, was like the big loss, other than Tuukka Rask, I guess. And then...
And a big Flyers killer.
Yes. And they signed Linus Ullmark in net, but Jeremy Swayman is in net for them tonight versus the Flyers, who played really well in the preseason game against us.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Bruins, right? Even when you think someone's the starter, they're not the starter in goal. I do like Swayman. Saw him play in Maine. Thought he was one of the best goalies in the nation. He's looked good in the NHL. Is he young? Yes. Is he athletic? Yeah, he really is. He could really steal some shots, so you really have to get him moving. And that's something where the Flyers are going to have to work at that. If you're going to put a lot of shots up, but he's going to see a lot of them, don't expect too many mistakes that way. You really do have to get him moving. But I'll tell you the big worry here for Martin Jones. It's that the Bruins seem to have Taylor Hall now in like a net front role. Now, Taylor Hall has great hands. I don't know if he could play the net front, but he is a strong guy, so it is possible. That could be bad news for Martin Jones if his defenseman can't get him out of there. So that's something on, we'll see how Alain Vigneault matches it. He's got the home match on that. If he puts maybe Ristolainen in there so he could try and move out Hall, that might be good. If he goes with the top pairing, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go. I mean, Ellis against Taylor Hall, I think Taylor Hall's stronger. So that's something where I think that'll be an important matchup, because we've all seen Taylor Hall. If he is feeling it, he's a problem. And that's the last thing you want, is someone like camped out on the doorstep of Martin Jones.
That is a really good point. I think that the Flyers' defense will be tested, obviously, much more than they were against Seattle. And that I think having that structure in place will be much more important. And I think, you know, one of the things that I noticed in the first two games for the Flyers is that they seem to just see the neutral zone,
mm-hmm.
that they were going to let the opponent just come through the neutral zone, but have a strong setup once the other team got in the zone and were able to, you know, turn people away to the outside, steal pucks. You know, I'm not saying their defensive effort was bad, but their strategy, again, was just to see the neutral zone. And I don't know that that's going to be the best approach against Boston.
Well, it definitely won't be against the perfection line. Like, that's something where guys like Marchand and Bergeron, they can weave in and out of that. And, you know, let's be fair. If I'm going to go back, one of David Pastrnak's first games in the NHL was against the Flyers. I remember covering it, interviewing him. He scored, I believe. Maybe that's a little fuzzy. But he has scored a lot against the Flyers. That's not fuzzy. And every Flyers fan knows that. So that perfection line, I assume you're going to match your top pairing against them. And that is a, you know, a chore and a half. It really is. Still, even to this day, like, that line is still one of the best in hockey.
Yeah, it's a little infuriating, I gotta say. I do not enjoy playing against them. I also think their third line could be sneaky dangerous with Foligno, Halla, and DeBrusque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. I mean, DeBrusque had something to prove this year. Foligno has fit in really well. And when he's healthy, mm-hmm. he is hard to handle on the boards, behind the net. He's also another guy that gets in the crease. But when he... if they cycle the puck and they get it behind the net, he really controls things. So that is going to be something to try and make sure he doesn't get to the puck first. And yeah, DeBrusque has definitely got something to prove this year, because he's been on the trading block for a couple of years now.
He has. So I'm very intrigued by this matchup tonight, because, again, you know, I think the Flyers trended in the right direction between their first and second game. But again, they were playing Seattle mm-hmm. in that second game. So can they take it up
mm-hmm.
an additional notch to meet kind of eye to eye with this Boston Bruins team, who, you know, isn't what they used to be, but are still really damn good.
Yeah, you got to be careful, too. Like, Marchand's going to try and goad some of the new Flyers into some bad penalties and fights. And you don't want to be overreactive to stuff, because that's what he's hoping for. Because, you know, when that happens and he could sort of create some mayhem out there, that's playing right into his game. And we've seen him do it plenty of times, especially in Philly. So he seems to really like playing in Philly, other than the time he really screwed up on the shootout. but otherwise he seems to really like playing here. And so that's another thing where, yeah, don't bite at everything that Brad Marchand's going to throw at you.
Well, hopefully I will not have to stress eat during this game at all. But if I do, I've got Built Bars. Built Bars are a soft protein bar, but they taste just like candy bars. And they have so many amazing flavors to choose from. There's something for everyone, no matter what your tastes are. Some of my personal favorites are the raspberry, the strawberry, the cherry barcia, and the salted caramel. And if you're like me and you can't decide between them, you can order a mixed box and they'll send you two of each flavor. But the best part is that they're healthy. Built Bars are great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in that delicious treat. They have 17 or 18 grams of protein, but only 130 to 180 calories. They're low sugar, they're low carb, and if you're on a special diet like keto, these will fit right in. So go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Once again, thanks for making Locked On Flyers your first listen every day. We're free and available on all your podcasting platforms. Okay, Russ, it is mailbag time. We have a bunch of really good questions to get to on today's episode. And the first one is, how do you think the new guys are going to fit in and be deployed now that McEwen is on the ice and Brown is to be out of COVID protocol on Saturday?
Well, I mean, Brown, I think, is still a little ways away from getting in the lineup. I think you're going to want him to practice some more with the team. But McEwen will be in there, and since Willman has been sent back, I think he'll be playing with Thompson and Knack. And, you know, Aubé Cabell did not have a great game last game. He really didn't. He's a game or two away from possibly losing a spot. Like, if he all of a sudden is that same guy last year that's sort of turning the puck over and not being strong offensively with the puck and generating any offense, he could lose a spot. And so we'll see. Like, that's where McEwen may be able to fit in, and then eventually Brown if, you know, he gets that far.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by all of that because it feels like there's one too many people for the number of positions right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, like with McEwen and Brown, or at least from my perspective, if you would eventually have to put them through waivers again, like it's no big deal if they get claimed because they were kind of extras right now. But, mm-hmm. you know, NAK, to your point, you can't put him through waivers. He's going to get poached.
Yeah.
I do worry about that with like one too many people and how are they going to manage it. And I know it's only the fourth line, but still, you know, they seem to want to put the fourth line out there in some key situations. And you want to have a line that knows how to work well together, especially if they have to be strong defensively.
Yeah, that definitely will put them out in key situations. And if someone like Aubé Cabell isn't physical and isn't trying to make plays, there could be a point where AV just is like, you know what? I've had it with this guy. And, you know, I feel like he got there. I don't remember when it was in the season with him last year. So I feel like this year it would be even earlier.
Moving on to the next question. For the time being, as long as Kevin Hayes is out, do you keep the top two lines as is or would you make any changes?
No, I'm keeping them as is. I actually, unless there's an injury or they're getting beat like 5-0 every game, I'm leaving that for a while. I think they had some good things going, some good combinations. And so, yeah, I'm not touching a thing.
I agree with you there. I want them to be able to continue to build the chemistry and have consistent performances over a longer period of time before I make any changes there. I do worry that AV is going to be a little quick on the trigger finger in terms of like if the third line doesn't get more active offensively to want to mix something up between maybe the second and third line. And I don't like that, but I can see him doing it.
I mean, it's not impossible, but I feel like we're a few games away from that. Things would have to really go south, I think, for that to happen. Because I do think they actually have a really strong top six. And no offense to JVR, but I think he's in the right spot on the third line.
100% agree with that. All right, next question. What will it take for the power play to finally click and start finishing?
Is it Jupiter and Mars to align? Is that how it goes in the song? I'm not an astronomer.
Mercury was in retrograde, they were saying.
There you go.
I'm not as familiar with those things too. Which is a bad thing.
Something
that I do know.
It is a bad thing.
Yeah.
I mean, something's got to happen. You would think it will just naturally click, right? But I don't know. I guess they have to, you know, have a game where it's, you know, the puck's just going in. I don't want to start using cliches, but, you know, we did see, you know, Giroux get a nice power play goal. You know, maybe he's going to be the linchpin this year. That would be great. Something like that's going to have to happen where they feel confident enough that, hey, this works now. Now we could really start to hammer the other team.
Wouldn't that be a thing if Claude Giroux just tore it up on the power play and, like, led the team in power play scoring?
It's always possible. Yeah.
Yeah. He is in the contract year, but yep. We'll get to that question a little bit. Actually, next. Some rumors got kicked up again recently. There was an article in the Hockey News, and I think a radio person said something about the potential for Claude Giroux to sign with the Ottawa Senators this next offseason. How realistic do you think that is? And or could he use Ottawa as a bargaining chip?
I don't see him using Ottawa as a bargaining chip, and I don't think it's totally realistic because it does seem like Claude that really likes it here. His family's here. I think it's going to take a lot to move him out of here. I think even a lesser salary isn't going to do it. So I just feel like, and I feel like if he's going to play well, the team won't want to do it. Now, they won't give him a long-term deal, but they'll, you know, give him 3 years. I think they would do that. I think that may be the path to keeping him here. Look, we all know he's from Hearst, Ontario, and, you know, we can go through all of that another day, but I think that's just the easy narrative. Like, hey, he might go there. Yeah, they would love him. Well, I haven't heard anything about it actually happening. So until then, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think that chances are just so low. Like, he is a Philadelphia Flyer. Like, the thought of him going elsewhere, I think that really only happens at a trade deadline move to give him a chance at a cup if, like, nothing is going here. Like, that's the only way I see him leaving the Flyers.
I agree with you, actually. I think you're right on.
All right, one more question before we take a little break. We talked a little bit about it, actually, in the first segment, but what is the confidence level of having Martin Jones play in just the third game?
All right, so let's use colors. We'll kind of make it like the terror chart, because, you know, we know those colors. So I'm going to say it's like an orange. It's not red. It's certainly not, I think, like, blue is not a big deal, right? But I'm going to go, like that yellowish orange color.
That is very specific.
Just being honest. That's where I'm at. You could use numbers if you want. Feel free.
Well, I guess it's more like a qualitative approach. And, you know, we talked about it in the first segment, but it bothers me from a Carter Hart perspective more than a Martin Jones perspective, honestly.
Yes.
I think it's bad for Carter Hart more than it's bad for the Flyers having somebody who automatically lets in an easy goal every game, as they say. You know, I think the Flyers can overcome that, and I think Martin Jones can play well for extended stretches, but I just worry about it from a Carter Hart perspective, and my priority is managing Carter Hart to the best of their ability.
I can't argue with that. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything hockey. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, soccer, and hockey, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Getting back in to our mailbag, our first question for this segment, why was Max Willman sent down?
That's a really good question. We actually were chatting about that before the other night, before the post-game press conference. I just don't feel like he got enough of a chance. I think he had a good game and a bad game. And so I guess he didn't sway the coaching decision or AV's decision enough to keep him up. I thought he was playing pretty smart. I thought there were some positive plays, especially, you know, against Seattle. I get that he had a really bad penalty, you know, the previous game, but you can't hold that against him forever. Honestly, I don't have a good answer for you. I don't. It's a great question.
And I think it goes back to what we were talking about with the other new guys, that there's just like one too many people for those slots.
Yes.
On the fourth line. And that I understand it's early season, and maybe what they're trying to do is rotate the different guys through in order to see who's the best fit. Totally makes sense. Like, I don't disagree with that strategy. I just disagreed with the strategy of getting like too many extra guys. And then you don't give anybody a chance to really get a rhythm going or get chemistry going, especially with so many changes on the team this year, that does take a while. And Willman absolutely fit in at the NHL level. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you know, he didn't have, you know, the greatest game taking that penalty, but I didn't think he necessarily hurt the team that badly given how, you know, everybody was playing overall.
Right.
And I do think that he, based on the trajectory of how he's been playing over the past 2 years, he absolutely deserved that shot. And to kind of take him out when he's just getting going could be detrimental. Now, maybe he just is a pro like he always is and goes to the Phantoms and does his thing and gets another shot. But I just don't like it from a consistency and chemistry perspective overall.
Yeah, I agree. I wish he had a better fate. Maybe he'll get back up later in the year.
I hope so, too. All right, next question. Does Nick Seeler playing potentially 50 games prevent Cam York from being called up?
Well, that's a really good question. And obviously this person watches the AV postgame, because the postgame after Seattle, he basically said, you know, I told Seeler he's the seventh defenseman, and many times the seventh defenseman can play up to 50 games. So he has a roadmap. Now, the fact that he has that roadmap, if there weren't really any big injuries this year, there's not much for Cam York to look at there. Now, that's not necessarily a negative, but yeah, I almost want to have a little carrot on the stick, though, for a guy, especially if he, you know, let's say first 3, 4, 5 games starts doing well. I mean, they're a little bit into it now, but, you know, a little down the road, if he feels like he's doing well and he kind of sees a roadblock, you hope that doesn't bother him. He could just tune that out. Most guys do, but it's still not bad to have a carrot, but Nick Seeler is certainly in the way of all this right now, especially after, you know, fighting and everything else and riling up the crowd. That's good for at least a couple weeks with AV.
I think you're right there. And, you know, I don't disagree that he did enough and established a presence to keep him in. But again, who's more important here in the grand scheme of things, Cam York or Nick Seeler?
Yeah.
And I guess I just think more big picture and more medium term, let's say. I won't say long term, but at least medium term. And to me, Cam York is more important. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Seeler would play 50 games, but he could potentially play 30.
Oh, he'll play 30. Even. Unless something drastically goes wrong with his game. You're right. Unfortunately, in this league, though, there's not a lot of coaches that have the security to be able to look at the long range stuff. So they don't. A lot of times they don't.
Well, all I can hope for is that Cam York, you know, plays above expectation in Lehigh Valley and just gives them no choice.
Yeah.
One last question here. And this comes actually from our friend Jay Forster over at Locked On Blue Jackets. Which ex-Flyer is most likely to be the one in the gritty suit?
I mean, for me, it's Cam Atkinson. Like, it just seems like that's a guarantee.
Ex-Flyer, though.
Oh, ex-Flyer. I'm sorry. It said ex. That's a good one. It's a really good one. I'm going to go Brian Elliott.
Ooh, that is an interesting choice. I do think he has the personality for it.
Yeah, I do too. I do too, and I think it would be interesting as heck.
Yeah, I think for me the obvious choice is Scott Hartnell.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen them in a room together, so it can't be him.
Right.
And, you know, they get along, you know, with both being redheads or orange heads, I guess, in this case.
They could.
So I want to say it's Danny Briere, even though Briere is really short. So
yeah, there has to be a lot of things going on in that suit to make him look bigger.
I don't know. Maybe it's like two Danny Briers in a trench coat, right?
It could be a Danny Briere and like his son on his shoulders. Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe that.
Yes. That'll work. That'll work. I just feel like Danny Briere's game for anything, and so is Gritty.
Yeah, he's one of the nicest guys in the world, so I have to agree with you on that.
All right, on that bombshell, wrapping up with our Flyers fun thing, there was on Twitter a beautiful portrait of Claude Giroux drawn using colored pencil from Rebecca Thompson. I was blown away because it's so like almost like a photorealistic drawing. And it's just perfect. And like the reflection in the visor is what got me. It's just so detailed.
It is. It shows the scowl in his face. I don't know if his beard ever got to that length, though. It looks a little longer than I kind of remember in my mind's eye of what his beard would look like. But, you know, I don't think it got to that point last year because they didn't have a good enough year, let's face it. But maybe it did in years past.
Yeah, well, I'm super impressed by it. So we'll link to that in the show notes. Make sure you check it out. Thanks for listening to today's show. We will be back again tomorrow. We'll have our rundown on the game tonight versus Boston, and we'll have a prospect profile of Ethan Sampson. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in your mailbag questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email the show at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam.
And I'm Russ, and I'm on Twitter at Sportsology, SportsOlogy.
Well, you made us your first listen today. Now make your second listen, Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms.